In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Mass is offered for the repose of the soul of those who died in Friday's terrorist attacks in Paris. What I'd like to teach on today is two parts of the Mass that we can get very used to, and that's Dominus Vobiscum and Ite Missa Est, something that we could get maybe a little bit too routine about. I remember growing up, sorry about that, I know I look young, I didn't have a growth spurt. Father wanted this stand for sister afterwards, so I feel like I'm kind of domineering up here, but at least I can see your faces. So in any case, I remember growing up, and it was just so commonplace, so superficial, the Lord would be with you and also with you, you know? And it was almost as superficial as just going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Have a good day, you too, you know? But I think also in the Latin Mass, we could also get so into the routine, Dominus Vobiscum et cum spiritu tuo, that we don't actually look at the depth of what's actually happening there. So I would like to look at the scriptures to see what was really meant in the Bible when we would hear this word, the Lord is with you, or the Lord be with you. And we're going to see it's anything but superficial. One of my professors back in Denver, Dr. Ted Sree, points out the times in the Old Testament when we hear these words, the Lord is with you. Listen to see if you can catch a little bit of the pattern here. This is from Exodus 3:12. When God told Moses at the burning bush to go and lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, I will be with you. Think of that, 600,000 that he had to lead out of Egypt, and he hears, I will be with you. When God told Joshua, the successor of Moses, to lead the Israelites across the Jordan to the land of Canaan, God said in Joshua 1:5, I will be with you as I was with Moses. And then we also have an example in the New Testament at the very beginning. Do you remember when Mary, a 14-year-old girl, she's praying right there, and the angel Gabriel appears to her and says, greeting, O one who is full of grace, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Well, if you notice, when we hear these words, the Lord is with you, it's actually a preparation for a great and a difficult and a holy task that is ahead of us. It's not just have a nice day, you too. It's actually saying what you have ahead of you is awesome. It's rigorous upon the body and the soul, but with the grace of God, you will be able to do it. We're going to put that on the back burner for just a second. The other thing I want to talk about before we dovetail these things is this term, Ite Missa Est. You hear it every time you go to Mass. Sung Mass, I sing it. Low Mass, Ite Missa Est. There's a lot of different translations of this, but I particularly like Venerable Fulton Sheen's translation of Ite Missa Est, and this is how he says it. He defines it, or rather translated as, the sacrifice has been sent to God, therefore go. Or ite, go, for the sacrifice has been sent to God. Ite is go. Missa est means God the Son has offered himself to God the Father. Now when I hear that translation of Fulton Sheen, I immediately think of Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul writes, he appeals for you to, quote, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, end quote. Did you know that if you look in the Vulgate of Romans 12, the word is hostium viventum, a living host? Where else do we think of a host? It's what I'm about to lift up that's simple bread, but he comes the living body and blood of Jesus. And so when the priest says, Ite Missa Est, what he's saying is, yes, this sacrifice that began with simple bread and wine became the Son of God, offering himself to the Father. So also, you are to live a life of sacrificial charity for your families as you go forth into the world to be literally a hostium viventum, a living host. And so when we put these two together, Dominus Vobiscum and Ite Missa Est, what we're saying is two things. It's a hard, difficult, and rewarding task to pay attention at Mass. It's a hard, rewarding, and difficult task to live supernatural charity for your families. But just like we show up at Mass with simple bread and wine and it becomes the living body and blood of Jesus in the sacrifice, in the separation of the body and the blood, so also you bring natural charity in the offertory, but if you live your baptismal vows, that natural charity is transformed to supernatural charity as you live these sacrificial lives of being hostium viventums, living sacrifices, first for God and then for your family. So when you hear Dominus Vobiscum, what it's saying is, you have a great task ahead of you. First, to pay attention at Mass, and secondly, to love your families. Naturally speaking, these are impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. And then, when you hear Ite Missa Est, it means, just as the Son of God has offered himself to the Father, so you in the world, in your normal family lives, are called to live your lives first to God the Father, and then for your families. I think this is especially lived in the life of St. Therese, the Little Way. And maybe there's been too much emphasis lately in the past, 50 or 100 years on the Little Way of St. Therese. But I'm going to still promote it just with a couple disclaimers. The first is this, that this doesn't diminish the big saints. I obviously think that Therese was a great saint. The saints like St. Francis Xavier, who circled the globe several times, baptized 700,000 people, or, say, Vincent Ferrer, who rose the dead, I think, over 100 times. Obviously, there's the great saints. I'm not diminishing them, nor am I saying that simply little acts of kindness are enough to win heaven. This would be the heresy of Pelagianism, that we can earn our way to heaven. No, the Catholic Church teaches for salvation to be realized we need faith, the sacraments, and the commandments, totally fulfilled, really, in the Beatitudes. But I think what I want to show today in this way of St. Therese is that the life of living the Beatitudes, small things can cause enormous growth. And this is why Jesus says in today's gospel, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. After something like the terrorist acts that we saw a couple days ago, we can feel particularly helpless just in our family lives, priestly lives, just simply going to church or whatever. But one of the things I think we can take away from the mustard seed is the tremendous growth God can do with just a very small thing. When I was in the Holy Land, they gave us like one of those little things about that big, like a millimeter in diameter, looks like cracked pepper kind of, before it's cracked. I thought this was the mustard seed. Then they opened it, and do you know each mustard seed looks about the size of one tiny, tiny, tiny grain of pepper? That's how big a mustard seed is. And so again, I'm not saying this homily that, small acts of kindness is the entire gospel. We've seen way too many bumper stickers saying that. But I am saying that once we're in sanctifying grace, these small acts can have tremendous import in the lives of many people. I want to give an example of this. So one of our parishioners I was speaking to outside one day, and she gave me permission to share this. I'll never use our conversations in homilies. But we were outside talking. Such a tremendous story. I said, could I use that in a homily? She said, yeah. And so she told me a surprising story where a few years ago she was in a mom's group and they all had homework. They had to bring question to their kids, and it was, when did you feel loved by your parents? And so she had to ask her 8-year-old this. Well, instead of the generic answer, because you cook for me every day, you clean for me every day, she was pretty surprised, actually, to hear that her daughter, her 8-year-old daughter, named a very specific instance. And the answer for how this 8-year-old felt loved and actually revolved around a seemingly insignificant event about 6 months prior. Here's what happened. It was a year earlier before this homework where the mom had to ask the kids, when did you feel loved by us? About a year before that, they were all coming into Mass, the family, and the mom told me she was furious. That was the word she used. She was furious at the daughter before entering the church for Sunday Mass to the point that the dad had to sit between them. Usually dad has to sit between siblings. The dad had to sit between mom and daughter. Again, she gave me permission to share this. Dad had to sit between mother and daughter as they were coming in. Well, the priest entered, everyone stood. Well, mom recounted to me how she felt too bad to attend Mass with such anger in her heart. So she leaned back to see her daughter, and just when they made eye contact, mom smiled at daughter, a quick smile, she told me, but a visible sign of her love for her. As she told me that story, I pictured a smile that was genuine, tender, peaceful, maybe even humorous as to say, we shouldn't have let this get between us. The mom added to me, quote, can you imagine, of the millions of things we had shared, that old event 6 months ago, and that's when she knew I loved her. Now, another quick disclaimer, caveat. Usually we do need to apologize to our family members before we go to Mass if there's an argument, because Jesus did say, I think it's Matthew 18, if you bring your offering to the altar and remember your brother has something against you, go make peace with him first. So I always teach in marriage prep, you really should be saying, I'm sorry and I forgive you 5 times a week in family life. If you're not doing that, you're either saints or there's a lot of dirt going under the rug. But you should get used to the very words, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Even if you feel like 5-year-olds, only children will enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be ready to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. However, this was one of those cases where a simple smile dissipated the darkness of everything that happened, of everything that was leading up to that point. And a year later, this is how she knew, the moment she knew she was loved. Now, of course, she knew she was loved before that. But it's amazing how an 8-year-old was able to pinpoint a specific instance. And this is where I think maybe this is one of those mustard seeds of grace. Because the daughter never forget the triumph of mercy over motherly judgment. Finish up with this. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians something similar today. The gospel came to you not only in word, but in power also. The gospel came to you not only in word, but in power also. I think of that simple look a mother flashed a daughter. I think of the silence of the traditional Latin Mass. Obviously, this is a sung Mass, but the silence in the low Mass. You don't hear a lot of words, but definitely the power of grace is there. Well, this is the goal of family life. This is the goal of priestly life. Jesus also said in today's gospel that his very own lessons were, quote, hidden from the foundations of the world. Perhaps this is also a reference to that extremely small mustard seed. Simple look of love is what is enough to warm up this world, not just dying of terrorism, but a world that's dying of loneliness and isolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.